Chapter 26. The Elder gear we wanted was in a pile on the floor of the armory, underneath a dead lizard. I ordered the Alpha team to remove the dead Kristang, as the 7-foot-tall body was too heavy for me to move by myself. It took a few minutes of sorting through the pile to find the two things Skippy sought, the AI and the comm node. The comm node I found first. It was in a box, surrounded by padding. The Kristang must have recognized it as something at least semi-valuable. Okay, we have the comm node. No, Skippy interrupted me. The AI. Find the AI.
All right, I assured him.
Looking for it now. Setting aside the comm node, the magic radio we had come all the way out here to find, I continued sorting through the pile until I reached the bottom. There was no AI. It's not here. What? Skippy's voice carried a touch of panic. It has to be there. Hold on, Skippy, don't worry yet. I only looked through the Elder gear that guy had with the explosives. He probably didn't have time to take all the Elder artifacts out of where they are storing them. There's a bunch of lockers and containers here. We'll find it. And we did find it. 40 minutes later. We tore the armory apart, looked in every container, every locker, and we found all kinds of Elder artifacts, mostly damaged, all worthless, according to Skippy. The AI wasn't anywhere. Crap, I swore in frustration. We'll have to search every nook and cranny of this entire base then. Captain Smythe, split up the team. Williams interrupted me.
Got it. Found it, sir, I think. Is this it?
He held up an object identical to Skippy, except this one had some green, sticky substance on one side. Yes, I exulted. Where did you find it?
In the trash can, sir, Williams announced.
The trash can? Skippy shouted. Damn it, if those lizards weren't already dead, I'd kill them for that.
Skippy, they didn't know what they had.
The lizards and the hamsters kept you on a dusty shelf. They didn't know how valuable you are either. I took the AI from Williams and carefully rubbed the green goo off with a rag. It came off easily. Nothing stuck to that shiny chrome surface. Okay, what's next? Touch your phone to the surface. It needs to be in direct contact. That's all? I asked skeptically. Yes, we are making do with what we have here. I'll take it from there. Good. Hold it right there. Right there. Huh, he said. Let me try it again. Huh. Anything? No. No, nothing. Trying it again. Damn it. Skippy. He didn't answer me. I'd been touching the top of my Z-phone to the top of the AI. Now I set the Z-phone down on a table and put the AI on it. It couldn't be touching any more firmly. Hey, Skippy, I said softly. You want to try it again? Skippy? I did already, he said, and he didn't even bother faking a sigh. No response? I'm sorry, Skippy. Damn, I felt just awful for him. Essentially alone in the universe, he thought he had found one of his own kind, but it was inert. Hey, listen. We'll bring the AI up to the Dutchman with us, and you can try it again there. Why? It's dead, Joe. There's nothing in that canister. There is no use bringing it to me.
You know this because you have contacted apparently inert AIs before?
No. Duh. This has never happened before, as far as I know. Then how do you know that it won't work, right? He sighed, and the fact that he made the effort to do that for my benefit was encouraging. We didn't need a depressed AI working on the delicate task of repairing the ship. You're right, he said glumly. Sure, what the hell. I'll try that.
I'm sorry, Skippy. I really am.
Yeah, I know.
Time heals all wounds, right?
It's only been a minute for you, but in Skippy time, that happened like a year ago. I've gotten over my initial disappointment, he said more cheerfully. You're right. Yeah. Maybe the AI needs to be within my true range. Using your phone only allows me to work within this space-time.
Yeah.
Hey, that's it. I feel much better now, Joe. Damn it. I'll have to wait until I can send a dropship down to get it. Okay, let's try the comm node now. No, I said flatly. No, Skippy said, surprised. Oh, shit. Is it damaged? You told me it was in a nice padded box, you jerk.
It's not damaged, Skippy. I don't want you screwing with it until we're back aboard the Dutchman. Think about what might happen if this comm node works and you contact the Collective right here.
Like you told me, you might go poof and disappear, and then we monkeys would be stuck down here with repairs to the Dutchman incomplete, and us with no way to get back to the ship anyway.
I caught Smythe's eye, and he nodded approval. None of us wanted to risk Skippy disappearing before we were ready to leave Newark behind.
So the answer is no. You're not going to attempt to use the comm node yet. I'm keeping it securely in the box. If you want to try using it, then you finish fixing up the ship, get it here, and send down dropships to pick us up.
Fine, he huffed. I guess that's fair.
To tell you the truth, as much as I do want to contact the Collective, I want to see if I really can fix this ship first.
That would be something to brag about, huh?
If.
You mean when, I said fearfully. When you fix the ship, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. No problemo, Joe.
Right. I mean when I fix the ship.
Things are going well up here, Joe. No major disasters within the last, 6 hours, almost. Nothing I can't handle.
Great. I had to take him at his word. There wasn't an alternative.
Is there anything else we can do here, Skippy? I asked, panning my Z-phone camera over the array of Elder artifacts laying on the floor.
Bring any of this other stuff with us?
None of it is useful to us, Skippy said.
Although we need to do something with it anyway if that Kristang ship gets here and detects a whole bunch of Elder gear still in the vicinity of the scavenger base. That will blow our cover story of another Kristang clan coming here and ripping off the scavengers. We can't count entirely on our missile getting all of it.
Got it, I said with dismay.
Some of the Elder gear was heavy, or bulky, or both. Bringing all of it with us would be a substantial burden. The hillside caverns where I planned for us to hole up were 70 kilometers away. So was most of our food supply.
This is a lot of stuff to carry.
Sir, Gomez spoke up.
This guy here,
he nudged the dead laborer with his boot.
Had the place all ready to blow if we tried to capture him. Maybe our cover story could be the scavengers here blew up most of the Elder gear to keep the Redstone clan from taking it.
I looked at him in surprise.
Smythe nodded agreement.
That would save us from having to haul all this kit a long way, sir. We could take some of it with us.
Damn, that was a good plan. I should have thought of it.
Skippy, does that sound good to you?
Yeah, sure, what the hell, he answered listlessly.
Sorry, Joe. I'm very disappointed about the AI, that's all.
Yes, the plan makes sense. Pile the explosives around most of it, set a timer and blow it. That will be convincing. If the ship scans the area, they'll see plenty of expended Kristang cartridges from the firefight. The missile is on its way. That will cover up any contradictory evidence.
Great.
Good thinking, I addressed Gomez and Smythe.
The missile, which Skippy had launched on its long journey across the star system while we were still driving the RV across Newark, had been taking a slow orbital approach to Newark. Now that we had cleared the scavenger base of Kristang and retrieved the useless Elder gear, the missile only needed our strike team to clear the area before it accelerated in and impacted the center of the base. The missile was one of Skippy's handmade units, not one of our precious Theranin ship killers with the fancy atomic compression warheads. Skippy's homebrew warhead was powerful enough to burrow into the soil of Newark and create a crater larger than the scavenger base perimeter. It also would leave trace signature elements of a typical Kristang warhead blast. That missile was phase four of my plan, covering up evidence that the base had been raided by a party traveling overland. Data that Skippy would plant in the two Kristang satellites would show a Kristang ship unstealthing in orbit, a pair of dropships strafing the scavenger base, then landing, and a firefight at the base. The armory would blow up, with most of the Elder gear. Then the dropships would take off and the ship would fire a missile at the base before recovering its dropships and jumping away. I'm sure Skippy would make the whole event look thoroughly convincing in the satellite data banks. When the Kristang ship arrived to pick up the scavenger leaders, it would find a muddy crater where the base had been, and a familiar story of the scavengers being raided by a rival clan. There would, I fervently hoped, be absolutely no reason for that ship to have any curiosity about the rest of the planet. No reason to actively scan the surface. No reason to initiate a scan that might find RV tracks leading toward the base. A scan that might detect an RV sunk in a river. No reason to scan the area around the two crashed scavenger aircraft. A scan that very likely would detect signs of recent habitation. Signs of the area being inhabited by, of all unlikely things, humans. If the Kristang ship hung around Newark a moment longer than it needed to,
I hoped that all it would send, a dropship down to the Elder crash site to see if the scavengers had missed anything useful. That would keep the Krestang busy until they got bored and went away. No humans had been to the crash site, so the new group of Krestang wouldn't find any trace of us there. I'll take the I almost said beer can. The AI and the comm node. Maybe Skippy could find something useful to do with them later, and it didn't feel right leaving the dead AI where it was. The rest of it, we cover with explosives and set a timer. I looked up to the north, where dark clouds were gathering, and a chill wind was beginning to stir. Let's get moving. We have a lot of ground to cover before nightfall. When the Krestang ship arrived, I was outside the cave getting much-appreciated fresh air in the early morning hours, stretching my legs and taking in a quick change of scenery. During daylight hours, we kept to our three cramped caverns. A big treat for us was bunking in a different cavern for a few days, being able to see relatively new faces. We got notice of the ship's arrival almost simultaneously from our Z-phone detecting the gamma ray burst and from Skippy calling us. That Krestang ship is here, Joe. You best get under cover. Roger that, I replied, and didn't need to say anything else as we all double-timed back to our respective caverns. No running. This was a disciplined group, and no one needed to be scolded for risking a twisted ankle or a broken leg in the semi-darkness. ETA? It jumped in far away from the planet, far even for a Krestang ship. Their jump drive appears to be in poor condition. My guess is they won't enter a stable orbit for another day, maybe more. They're pinging the scavenger camp and, of course, getting no reply. They also just requested a download from the satellites. I'm giving them everything we want them to see. Great. I'll check in with you every 6 hours. You contact me if anything happens that I need to know about. Affirmative. Dutchman out. Hey, Colonel Joe, Skippy called me, startling me. I'd been sitting on a rock near the entrance of the cavern, watching a cold rain splatter down outside, slowly drinking a cold chocolate banana sludge. There wasn't much else to do, and I'd slept plenty already. Maybe too much. What's up, Skippy?
We got a tiny problemo.
Oh? Like what? I snapped my fingers to get people's attention, and around me I could see people stirring and putting on their Z-phone earpieces so they could listen in.
Two pieces of news. One bad, one merely FYI. The FYI part is that ship is sending a dropship down to check out the Elder crash site in case the scavengers missed something. For now, they're not going to bother inspecting what's left of the scavenger base, and they're not interested in the crash sites near our main encampment, where we shot down those two scavenger aircraft. They completely bought the story I fed them in the fake satellite data. True to Krestang, they're not even pissed about being raided and having all the scavengers killed. They're only pissed that some other clan stole the Elder artifacts.
That is actually good news so far, Skippy. What's the bad news?
More like extremely annoying news. But it could turn out to be devastatingly bad. We'll have to wait and see. From internal ship communications leaking through their hull because of a shockingly, and I do mean I am truly actually shocked this time, Joe. I'm not merely doing the old joke where I only pretend to be shocked. You know what I mean? You say you're shocked, but you actually mean the opposite? The most famous usage of that phrase, of course, was by Claude Rains in the movie Casablanca, although that line is strangely misquoted very often. The correct Skippy. The point, please. Here's another good quote for you to remember. Brevity is the soul of wit, and tediousness, the limbs and outward flourishes. I will be brief, Skippy finished the quote for me. Man, I try to smack some culture down on you, and we ignorant monkeys greatly appreciate it, Skippy. Save it for the appropriate time, okay? Fine, he said with a huff. As I was saying before, well, I guess before I rudely interrupted my own train of thought. Huh. I see your point now, Joe. Damn, my mind wanders sometimes. I was saying, the communications security aboard that ship is shockingly bad. Their cabling must be completely worn out. More of the data signal leaks out than gets to its destination. It is so bad that even if they had a functioning stealth field, which they do not, I'd be able to listen in. You monkeys are a young, impatient species. So, without further embellishment, here's the news. The Theranin star carrier that dropped off this ship at the edge of the star system will not return for another 4.5 months. That's meh level accuracy for you. This means the Krestang ship will be here for 4 months at least. During those 4.5 months, the Kristang on that ship may become bored and start poking around, scanning, and looking into things better left alone. They might discover the human presence on Newark.
Damn it.
I looked around and met people's eyes. They were all indicating alarm.
That isn't the only problem, Skippy. We only have 3 months of food with us here.
My group may be able to stretch out our supply of dehydrated sludges to 3.5 months, possibly another week under extreme conditions. We were already on rather lean rations as it was. The main group back at the caverns near the cathedral complex had more food. They might make it to 4 months. None of us were going to survive 4.5 months.
That is a problem, and with that ship in orbit, I can't send another food delivery. The Dutchman's supply of sludges is almost exhausted anyway, and I can't make more until the ship is up and running.
Joe, this sucks, because I've been making substantial progress up here, had a couple spots of good luck, and I expect to have the ship ready to jump in and retrieve you in about a month. That's only 1 week longer than the original schedule.
Fantastic, Skippy. This is incredible, and we'll give you the slow clap of amazement when we get back up there.
Hey, a slow clap? Is this a sarcastic thing?
What?
No. Oh, sorry, Skippy. I guess that can have a double meaning. In this context, I meant we would be genuinely amazed by how you fixed the ship.
Damn, I will never understand monkey social norms.
Me neither, Skippy. Back to the subject. Is there anything you can do about that Kristang ship for us?
Not that I can think of yet, Joe. I have 2 missiles, one ready and one partly assembled. Only needs a propulsion unit.
Only needed a propulsion unit? What was he planning to do, launch it from a really big slingshot?
1 missile isn't much help, huh?
Unfortunately, no. That ship would detect 1 or 2 missiles while they are inbound and likely destroy them both beyond their effective range. The Kristang who own that ship are barely maintaining their internal systems and jump drive, but their sensor field and defensive batteries are functional. A failed missile attack at such long range would get the Kristang asking uncomfortable questions and poking around places we'd rather they don't look.
Understood. I'm pretty sure none of us down here can throw a rock up far enough to hit that ship in orbit, so you keep trying to think of a solution, okay?
I'll do my best, Joe. I'll do my best.
Skippy's best thinking, he admitted to me early the next morning, wasn't nearly good enough. I thunk on it all night, Joe. In between, you know, building a starship out of moon dust up here. And I got a whole lot of nothing.
You military brains down there come up with an idea?
No, I admitted. We talked about it late into the night, tossing around increasingly unlikely and impractical ideas until I called a halt and told everyone we'd begin again with fresh minds in the morning.
No, Skippy, we also got nothing down here. We're working on it. Let's both have faith, okay?
Okay, he said quietly.
The fact that he didn't make a smart-ass remark told me how discouraged he was feeling. His mood mirrored my own gloominess.
Skippy, we have come way too far to fail now. We got all the way to this star system without any power from the reactors. We defeated a superior Kristang force without them firing a single shot at us. And we've managed to survive on this damp, rainy, chilly mudball of a planet. Also, I didn't kill anyone for singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall like way too many freaking times. That is a solid gold gosh darned miracle. I'm not giving up now. Taking a tiny, tiny risk, I slid my butt along the rock at the cavern entrance so I had a clear view of the only partly cloudy early morning sky. In theory, the Kristang ship might have a snowball's chance in hell of seeing me if it had been looking right at our cavern through a gap in the clouds at that second. Somewhere up there at this time, to the right of Newark's small moon, was the micro wormhole that we used to communicate with Skippy. Looking up at the invisible wormhole, I felt just a tiny bit closer to that annoying little beer can, an alien AI who I inexplicably felt some measure of affection for. A true miracle from Skippy. The wormhole allowed almost real-time communication through.
Holy shit.
What? Skippy asked.
The way this micro wormhole thingy works is, I said very slowly, thinking through my idea as I spoke. You send radio waves through it, so we can talk without a big-time lag?
Given your monkey-level understanding of physics, sure, let's go with that.
Oh man, Albert Einstein would be weeping for your species right now.
You send photons through the wormhole, so
wait. Hush, you. Not this time. Not this time. This is where you think you have some brilliant idea that I should have thought of, right?
Maybe.
He laughed gleefully. Ha!
Ha 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 ha!
I know exactly what boneheaded monkey brain idea you're going to tell me, and I can tell you ahead of time it won't work. You want me to send missiles through the wormhole and hit that ship. That's it, right? Ha ha! You can forget it, Mr. Smarty Pants, because that won't work. We only have one functioning missile right now, remember, dumbass? Also, that wormhole is less than half a nanometer in diameter. No way can we squeeze a missile through it. So you're not so freaking smart, are you?
Ha 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 ha.
Skippy's rant hadn't let me get a word in. You done gloating now? I asked. Give me a minute. I want to let this soak in.
Ah, this feels good. I like this feeling. You think you're so smart, Joe, and you're not.
Here, pretend I just tossed a coin into your hat. Dance for me, monkey. Dance!
Great, I said. Because I was going to suggest you send a maser cannon beam through the wormhole, not a missile.
A long silence. Long, like really awkwardly long. Then Skippy shouted, "Damn it!"
Excuse me, I'm going offline a moment so I can smash something.
Skippy?
Silence.
Skippy?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here,
he finally grumbled.
Did you smash something? You feel better now?
I didn't smash anything yet, but there's a pair of small moons here that are going to have a very bad freaking day in about 2 hours.
You're blowing up two moons just because you're pissed about something?
No, I'm just crashing one into the other.
Come on, Joe, there's plenty of moons up here. Nobody's going to miss a couple.
So, you're thinking of a maser cannon shot through the wormhole, huh?
That's the idea.
Damn you, Mr. Smarty Pants. You have no idea how thoroughly, utterly humiliating this is for me.
Well, I'd love to hear. Can you explain in great detail? And don't leave anything out. All of us ignorant monkeys on this end would truly enjoy hearing it. I'll record it for you. How does this make you feel with your godlike intelligence?
Sure, I'll pencil you in for the 12th of never. Or how about the 4th of shut the hell up? Do either of those dates work for you?
Maybe I should have named him Snarky instead of Skippy.
The maser beam thing. It will work?
Skippy sighed. Deep down, all the way into whatever space-time most of him resided, he had to be incredibly frustrated with himself.
Yes. Yes, it will. I'll need to refocus the emitter to narrow the beam. That will attenuate the power somewhat. I can goose up the... Well, this is all technical stuff on my end. Nothing worth explaining to monkeys. Yes, it will work. We'll only get one shot at this, pun intended. Transmitting that much power through the wormhole will collapse it completely. After we shoot, I won't know whether it worked until your radio signal gets here more than an hour later. We'll be limited to slow speed of light communications after we lose the wormhole. We need to make this one shot count. I'll have to target their reactor directly. Breach containment there, and that ship is a nice firework in the sky for you. The remaining problem with the plan is I have only a limited ability to aim the beam when it comes out your end of the wormhole. Unfortunately, that ship's orbit right now doesn't take it within the targeting cone. You got any ideas how to fix that?
Uh-huh. Figured that might be a problem. I thought a moment. How to get a ship to change its orbit?
Yeah, I might. Does your idea involve sending a message to that ship asking it to pose for a photo in front of our wormhole?
No. Our two stealth satellites. You can move them slowly without the Kristang detecting?
Yes.
Those satellites are tiny, Joe, so forget about me trying to smash one into that ship. If that is your best idea, we are in big trouble.
That was not my idea.
How about this? You position one of them someplace away from the micro-wormhole, and then you adjust the satellite's stealth field so it looks like a stealthed ship whose field is failing. You can do that?
Piece of cake, Joe. I'm waiting for the brilliant part of your plan. If you don't have that, the only mildly stupid part of your plan would amuse me also.
Great. If that Kristang ship thinks another ship, a stealth ship, is suddenly in the area, will it jump away immediately?
No, not from where it is now. The ship is too deep in the gravity well for it to jump away right now. It would need to...
Oh,
I see your plan now. I position our satellite to flush the Kristang ship toward our micro-wormhole as it tries to climb out to jump distance, so I can get a clean shot at it?
Yep. That's the plan. Will that work?
You're such a smartass, Skippy said with a disgusted snort. I hate you.
I love you too, Skippy.
And?
I'm not saying I love you back, he said disgustedly.
The and in this case means, I explained patiently, and will my plan work?
Yes.
I couldn't hear that very well, Skippy. Did you just say a monkey plan will work when your incredible intelligence couldn't think of a way out of this mess?
Yes. For crying out loud, I said yes. Damn, you are annoying.
You know what? When I get this ship fixed up, I am declaring it a monkey-free zone. No filthy monkeys allowed.
Ah, it will be like paradise up here.
Yeah, paradise, I pointed out the flaw in his plan. Except for the part about you being stuck right there until the Dutchman's orbit degrades and the ship falls into the gas giant's atmosphere. After that, you will sink to the core of a slowly cooling planet until the heat death of the universe quadrillions of years from now?
Yep. No monkeys. Like I said, paradise.
Skippy only had one shot at that ship. Of course, he only needed one shot, despite his grumbling about how we were asking him to do the impossible, as usual, and how we didn't truly appreciate his incredible awesomeness. To shut him up, I offered to bake a cake in his honor when we got back to the Dutchman. That afternoon, while the Kristang ship frantically accelerated to jump altitude to get away from a phantom ship that didn't exist, Skippy fired a full-power maser cannon beam through the wormhole, scoring a direct hit on that ship's already overheated reactor. The result was a brief, bright flare in the partly cloudy sky. And then, silence. No Kristang ship above us, but also no Skippy. On our Z-phones, we were able to view satellite data that showed the Kristang ship exploding. After the debris field cleared, we tracked pieces of the ship in orbit. The largest piece was smaller than a dropship. All the pieces were dead. No internal power, no signs of life. For days after, we saw things burning up as they fell into the atmosphere. The satellites were supposed to notify us immediately if any piece of the ship began moving on its own or generating power or transmitting signals. Just in case, I checked satellite images and data several times a day and ordered the team to maintain cover. Several hours after he shot the maser cannon through the micro-wormhole, Skippy saw the distinctive flash of a reactor losing containment, then jump drive coils exploding as the Kristang ship ceased to exist, so he knew he'd accomplished his mission. That part of his mission, anyway. He still needed to finish rebuilding the busted Dutchman. The time lag for radio signals was enough of a problem. The larger problem being that our low-powered Z-phone antennas could barely pick up signals from the Dutchman, and it was almost impossible for the Dutchman to hear our weak transmissions at all. We managed to maintain only the minimum communication necessary. The bandwidth limited us to text messages only. No voice. That began the absolutely most miserable period of our time on Newark. For one, it rained most days, and without Skippy, we didn't have weather forecasts. We could see satellite images, and there was nothing but solid cloud cover most of the time. The only time we could safely go out of the cavern was when there were solid clouds overhead. We couldn't risk being seen walking around if there was a Kristang presence in orbit that we didn't know about. Our time outside was limited. If we went for a run or a strenuous hike, our heat signatures might be detectable even through a thick cloud layer. Most of the time we stayed bundled up in our now grimy, smelly, and always damp cold weather gear. After we'd been stuck inside for 3 solid days of rain, I ventured out to collect grass, low-growing shrub, and a sort of lichen off the rocks. We laid it out to dry in the back of the cavern, and 2 days later we risked a small fire in a side cavern that had a hole in the roof. As best we could, we took off the underlayers of our clothes and hung them up to dry. The clothes I got back smelled like a damp grass fire, but they were warm and dry. Man, that felt good. My skin had been starting to get minor sores from constantly wearing the same wet clothes. The only food we had left were cold, rehydrated sludges. At least people back at the main caverns near the cathedral had hot food, real food, and a variety of it. The worst for our group, huddled together in our damp, cramped mud floor caverns, was the lacking. Lack of exercise, lack of anything to do, lack of purpose, lack of real food. People,
Even dedicated elite special forces troops get bored, and little frictions added up. The team leaders handled the minor disputes well, without me needing to get involved. For my part, I found myself missing being able to talk with Skippy. Not only being able to get detailed status reports, I simply missed talking with that annoying, insulting beer can. When we finally received the message from Skippy that the Flying Dutchman was ready to come to Newark, I felt like dancing. To spare myself the embarrassment, I didn't. What I did do was pass the word around that we'd soon be getting off Newark. Then I transmitted back to the Dutchman the go code to activate the jump we had programmed into the autopilot before we departed the ship. 7 hours later, Skippy's voice once more boomed out of my Z-phone. "Greetings, Colonel Joe and the whole barrel of monkeys down there. Tis I, Skippy the Magnificent. Because of my amazing beneficence, I bring you a starship that is almost as good as new, including such luxuries as heat and oxygen. Also, the deluxe rust-proof undercoating package at no extra charge." "Skippy." I couldn't keep the pure glee out of my voice. "We're safe? There are no Kristang up there?" "Yes, sirree. There be no lizards around these parts. Parts of that ship are still tumbling in orbit, but it's no threat. No one is alive aboard the wreck. We'd better hit them with a maser anyway before we leave, just in case. How are you doing, Joe? I've been monitoring the weather, and it sure looks depressing down there." "I'm all right, Skippy. We're all okay down here." "Damn, it is good to hear from you." "I missed your irascible self," I said, before realizing I was talking on an open channel. "Ah, you're just happy that I brought the ship back so you can get off that miserable frozen mudball." "That too. Are you allowing monkeys aboard your squeaky clean ship?" "Yuck, I'd forgotten about that. Filthy monkeys doing filthy monkey things. Ah, what the hell. You caught me in a generous mood, Joe. Come on up here before I change my mind. I've got 2 dropships on the way down. We'll need several trips to bring up everyone and all your stuff, so I loaded clean clothes and fresh food aboard the dropships." "That was very thoughtful of you, Skippy, thank you." "Like I said," he grumbled, "hurry, before I change my mind."